This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
And welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio.
As we make it up as we go along.
All we ever do is make it up as we go along. I am Steve Ulscher, along with the lovely and talented and always with really fun, interesting things to say, Mary Goulet. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah,
happy
it's going
to be back.
As well am I. We got to figure out how to do this like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
It would be fun.
It's fun. It is fun.
And
it goes
back by really fast.
It does. That's what my wife says, but we won't talk about that. Yeah, exactly. I've been telling her for years that's 60 minutes, but she, I don't think I have her fooled.
No. Boy, that was a fast slide downhill. Oh my gosh.
It doesn't take long,
nope,
does
just
it?
No, like,
exactly.
Right, just came right out.
Right. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're just going to have to figure out how to do this. All Reinvention Radio all the time. That'll be the plan. All Steve, all Mary. And today we actually have Marietta here as well, which is going to be awesome as you fix your long hair. How that hair goes like all the way down
all
to the
way.
Floor, basically. Yeah, all
Hi,
the way.
Guys.
You go all the way. See?
All the
See,
way.
Marietta goes all the way. See, there
yes,
you go.
Yes, always
right?
all the way.
This
the
is
way.
The
theme.
Yeah,
right?
it is.
It's exactly. the theme of the show, guys.
So speaking of going all the way, you know I got to timestamp this thing, and you know what I'm going to talk about.
The Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley's Cup. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. You know, you can take the boy out of Chicago, but you can't take Chicago out of the boy.
That's right.
So,
surprised you're not wearing the jersey.
You know what? I actually bought a jersey for my son when he turned 10. So he's got this Blackhawks jersey with the number 10 on it and Ulscher on the back.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet. So I can't even compete with my son's wardrobe. So I was like, nah, you know, if I can't compete with that, I'm not going to do it. But yay Hawks, you know, and Kelly, I'm sure you're listening. And sorry.
Neener.
Yeah, exactly. You just enjoy that seller position right there where your team always is. But yes, go Hawks. Yay.
Ooh,
and
you're going to get in trouble for
I know,
that one.
I know. And I fully expect to get a note. I'm waiting for the phone to buzz. Like
yes.
right now as Kelly texts me her anger. So all good. Lord Stanley back in Chicago where it belongs. And I'll be the first one to say that we've got a dynasty, you know. The chairman of the league said that we've got a dynasty. So I'm going to say, we got a dynasty. So all good in the Chicagoland, all good here in the studio for today's show. And really, really excited to get into some more details with Marietta as we go along. And I will tell you more, and Mary will tell you more about all of the fun and amazing things that Marietta is up to. But, you know, I got to tell you, when I started looking at what's going on in the world over this last week, a couple of things really struck me. Number one, and we'll kind of work our way back to today, but earlier in the week, the hare himself, Mr. Donald Trump, decided to throw his hair in the ring. He didn't even throw his hat in the ring. He threw his hair in the ring and said, you know, let's go ahead and run for this presidency. And I got to tell you, when you look at where he, he had to release his financials when he, you know, filed to become president, $8 billion.
Really?
$8
billion. And you know what's so interesting
about
him? He's been down on his luck.
Yeah.
Because in the commercial real estate market in New York, he was swinging big bats.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, though, because when you come right down to it, that makes him worth, let me do the math here, $8 billion more than the U.S. government. So,
wow.
In the scheme of things, if you're going to go with some sort of status quo stuff where you're $100 trillion in debt or whatever the current number is, and I think it's actually could even be more than that today, to someone who's got a net worth of $8 billion, I think this guy's got a pretty decent shot of running the country like a business, which when you come right
yes.
down to it, it's a business.
It is a business.
Yeah. And so Marietta and Slovenia, they just Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the difference between Slovenia and Slovakia?
Well, Slovakia, it's a former Czechoslovakia. So
and Slovenia?
And Slovenia, it's, I believe, former Yugoslavia, part of former Yugoslavia.
Did you know that?
Nope, didn't know it.
Everyone is
mistaken. Everyone thinks Slovenia is the same as Slovakia. No, guys, it's not.
Are like, you guys like, is it like a war? Are you guys like in a 100-year
no.
war?
There's no? War.
There's no war?
No war.
Oh,
no,
right.
I know.
Not yet, anyway.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, so Slovakia. Okay,
Slovakia.
So in Slovakia, is it like, do people just, is there like a legit government, or do people just literally pay to, they just pay to get a position and then send a,
honestly,
send a business over to their friends and that sort of thing? Pretty much
pay.
Just like the States.
They just pretty much pay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, good. So basically, Eastern Europe is just like the States. Good. Good to know.
It's all the same, guys.
It's all the same. So here's what I'm saying. So Trump, honestly, I'm going to vote for the man.
Okay, so wait.
I'm a Democrat. I will be the first to admit that I'm a Democrat.
What's wrong with you?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I have power to the people. And when the haves have more than the have-nots, I mean, I'm okay with that. But at the same token, we should share. So Trump, he's got a lot more than the have-nots. But I do think that he'll run the country like what it is, which is a business, right?
Yeah, he's not a politician, and I'm sick of those guys.
Well, I think historically they've proven over and over again that they only have their own agendas in mind, and that's not a good thing. So are you going to vote for the man?
Well, I want to see who else is in the lineup.
Does it matter who's going to be in the lineup? Cuomo or Jeb Bush? Do we really need another Bush? Yeah.
Well, he would bring in the minorities because his wife is Hispanic, and that's a big issue in our country. And Hillary, I just cannot
deal with
Hillary.
He bought her. So, I mean, that doesn't really count. I mean, it's like if you go to the mail order and you see the picture and you say, yes, the one I want. That,
seriously.
Yeah, that doesn't really count. So, but we can't go to the back to the days of having a Dick, a Bush, and a Colin in the White House. I mean, that's just right. I mean, that's how we had it for a while.
If
and
it
that's
was
just,
Trump, I would be thrilled because he is a businessman and he's a bloviator. He'll great headlines will come out of his every talk he gives.
Right? Hey, didn't he buy his wife from one of your countries? Where?
Czech Republic.
Yeah.
She was Czech, yeah.
Yeah. So beautiful
Ivanka
woman,
was Czech,
and
yeah.
you look at their kids, and you know that they didn't get their looks from Trump.
Yeah,
so yeah, exactly. But anyway, my point only being here that I'm going to vote for Donald. I'm all with the Donald,
but
even though I'm a Democrat.
He's serious? Do you think he'll make it through the primary?
I'll tell you what, if Ron Paul were still running, I would vote for Ron. And since Ron Paul isn't running, I can't vote for Rand because Rand's just an idiot. But I'll vote for Donald. I have to do it just simply because we've got to send a message, right? It's all about sending a message. And the message is we prefer hair over substance. I mean, I think
I love it.
I think that's the
there
message that we're trying to get out.
So you voted for Obama?
Not only did I vote for Obama, I have pictures with the man. I paid to have pictures with the man.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
How much did you pay?
I paid $1,000 for a private fundraiser in Chicago. Because he was a senator at that point in time, and he was, you know, first time running. And in Chicago, I mean, kind of a living legend, and had obviously a huge following at the point, at that point in time. And we felt pretty good about his chances to win. So we just had to help him raise some money. And private fundraiser at friend's
house. What's he like in
house.
Person?
I got to tell you, here's what the one word that comes to mind is present.
Present.
Okay. Present.
Bill Clinton was said to have been very present.
Yeah. I mean, when you are with Obama, it is like you are the only person in the room. And it's
a gift.
It's a gift. It's a skill. And I mean, frankly,
because I'm paying no attention to you.
I know.
I'm staring
at you. We got three people in the room right now, and like no one's.
It's all about Mary.
You guys are all texting. You're doing your Facebook
yeah, exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just texting. I'm
like,
texting.
Why the fuck is he talking about Trump? You're just going, well, what else can we talk about here? I mean, that's like.
No, but I. So did you vote for him the second time?
I did vote for him the second. As a matter of fact, I'm from Chicago, so I vote. I'm from Chicago, so I voted for him for 10 times actually. You know, because that's what you can do in Chicago.
So are you proud of how he's handled things?
I'll put it to you this way. I don't see anyone else who would have handled things any better. I mean, and, you know, we got to give the man credit where credit's due. He found bin Laden, right? I mean, he went out and shot him himself, right? I mean, he is SEAL Team 6.
Yeah,
so,
he missed the last three holes on the golf course because he had to go do that.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, frankly, that's what he's going to be remembered for. And everything else.
And the healthcare?
Yeah, but that'll be shot down at some point. And it
Hope
will.
So.
Because you just can't. I mean, there's too much resistance across the board. I don't care who it is. Trump, Obama, Bush, doesn't matter. These guys don't play together. And that's what we got to figure out here is how to reinvent government.
Yeah,
so,
I think exactly. And I do hope that Trump takes this very seriously and puts a lot of money into it to win, because otherwise it's a joke.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, politics right now is a joke, which is why
especially on the Republican side.
On both sides. I mean, really, when you come right down to it, because even the Democrats are so far left that they lose sight of what's realistic. So my hope is that we can look to reinvent government a little bit. And is Trump the man to do that? I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, certainly if you'd like to join in on the conversation, we'd love to have you. The phone number here at Reinvention Radio is 866-977-2346 and hit number one. Again, that's 866-977-2346. Hit number one. Love to hear what you guys think about Trump, about Obama, about who you think might win. I don't mind going into a little bit of political, kind of stuff here, because we got Marriott in the house, and you took the you were one of those women that took the sledgehammer to the wall, right? That was your country, no? No.
No.
You are so lost on Eastern Europe.
Yeah, right? You broke down the wall. You were the one who... Yeah, look at you. You're all
the
choked up about
Berlin
it.
Berlin Wall.
Exactly. That's in Slovenia, right?
That's Czechoslovakia, yes.
See?
That's right.
Exactly. I got it.
Czechoslovakia.
Okay, so you see what public education does, and this is what happens. We actually have maps on our table while we eat, and that's like the only way I know where anything is, and our kids know more about geography than I do. So
that's cool.
I'm probably going to hear a heck of a lot from my kids about my lack of knowledge about Czechoslovakia and Slovenia and Slovakia. And when we come back after the break here, we're going to talk to Marietta about her journey from Eastern Europe to Chicago and New York and now the San Diego area. Very much looking forward to it. We'll be right back with Reinvention Radio.
San Diego.
Right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olson.
All right, well, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher along with Mary Goulet, and really excited here because we've got someone who left her country just to be with us for this show.
Oh yeah.
Like literally just
getting on a plane and going right back.
So you claim political asylum just this morning.
Nice. Just this morning. So right now I'm here and I'm flying back tonight.
All right, so Mary, I'm totally going to butcher your name. Oslanik?
Oslanik. Actually,
but how would you say it?
It's Osonet.
What?
Osonet.
What?
Exactly.
Never mind.
Exactly.
Osonet?
Yeah. Right. Osonet. Well, and welcome to America. How long have you been here?
I've been here a couple hours. I arrived 6 a.m.
Yeah, right.
So it's been 6 hours.
Did you see that movie, by the way? Every foreigner has to see that movie. Have
Which
you seen
one?
That movie? Welcome to America.
No.
Oh, with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, you've seen it.
That's
an old one. Okay, so you've got your homework. So
okay,
when
tonight.
You go home tonight,
uh-huh.
exactly.
And
you're going to
fly back.
You fly back, before they kick you out of the country.
All
here,
right.
Pop some popcorn and watch Coming to America. So that when you come back, you know exactly what to do.
Okay.
But no, seriously, it's pretty impressive what you've been able to do. And before the break here, I kind of alluded a little bit to who you are and what you're doing, but why don't you give everyone the overview of who Marietta is so everyone has a better understanding of who you are and what you're doing, because your story is nothing short of inspiring.
Sure. So where should I start? In 2007, actually no, when I was 16, that was 1999, my father decided to send me over for 1 year as an exchange student, and I end up in Delaware. Then I had to change.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Out of all places, you ended up in Delaware.
Delaware. Yep.
How'd you like it?
Not so much.
See?
Especially, you know, my host mother was a little bit crazy. She was kind of trying to kill me because she was on antidepressant and she was really going through a tough time. Her daughter died 2 years before and she was trying to replace me.
Welcome to America.
Welcome to America. Exactly.
Wow.
So, and then all these weird things started to happen. So I had to change the host family. I ended up in West Virginia.
Did you come home to like a rabbit in a boiling pot of water? No, you haven't seen that movie either. Meredith is like, what the fuck?
What? Yeah,
come on. All right.
We go through the show.
So Rabbit in a Boiling Pot of Water. What show? Seriously? What movie is
Fatal
that?
Attraction.
Thank you. Exactly.
Who's so watching you're, these like, movies? who does that?
So your roommate wasn't out for you because she had this Fatal Attraction thing going on. That's okay. Second.
OMG.
Okay. Second. Yeah. Second.
OMG. Humor. Okay.
Right, exactly.
And then you ended up in West Virginia.
Yeah. Even better location, right?
In the Appalachian Mountains, just like...
Exactly. In the middle of nowhere, small town, St. Albans.
Your father hated you.
Why did that happen to you?
Why? Because they... Yeah, he was like, okay, let's change the host family. This is too dangerous for you. I'm like, okay, so I end up in West Virginia.
You're going to leave our country. That's fine, honey. I'm going to set you up in a place you're absolutely going to love. Here's your ticket.
No.
When you get
My father goes like, you got to stay there. You got to stay there and learn English. Stay there.
And of course, when I think about where I want to learn in English, West Virginia in the mountains is the first place that comes to mind for me.
Seriously. Do they have teeth up there?
Yeah.
Bunch of deers were coming to my window. So I was talking to deers, you know. And,
Oh, my gosh.
And I was eating peanut butter all the time. So I put on 50 pounds.
Did you really?
That's all they gave you?
Seriously, I did. 50 pounds. I went back home and my father is looking at me like, who is this?
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Who is this girl?
Right.
So then what'd you do after you graduate high school back home?
Yeah, then I graduated high school and I was already influenced by the culture. I was kind of lost, to be honest. Like, I didn't know, like, where the hell I belong, you know? Like, I was like, where's my home? Like
not West Virginia.
I felt like I'm obese, you know? I don't know where to belong. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing with my life.
Can you picture her being obese?
Nope.
Yeah, that's a hard image to get.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's true. And then after that, I decided to apply to law school. Like, in Slovakia, right after high school, you can apply to the university. So I decided, okay, I'm going to become a lawyer. So at least I'm gonna do something with my life. Back then, my father had some issues with his business.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, everyone is paying to everybody in my country just to get some sort of...
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a little kickback.
Yeah, corruption all the way.
Sure.
So that was the main motivation. And then I started to study law. Every summer I would spend in U.S. in different states.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much traveling all over the place.
You didn't go back to West Virginia, though.
I never went back to West Virginia.
So I know you were in Chicago and you ended up going to Northwestern University.
Right. So in 2007, I graduated law in Slovakia and,
That doesn't transfer. I mean, that's like the medic kind of thing,
exactly,
right? You got a medical degree there. You come here and they're like, yeah, you got to start over. Sorry.
Yeah, you got to start over. So in 2007, I'm like, okay, guys, I'm done. Goodbye. They're looking at me. You're done with what? I'm like, I'm done with this country. They're all looking like, yeah, you'll be back in 3 months. Oh, yeah. I won't be back. Bye.
8 years later.
Wait, so they were not exactly supportive of your going off.
Nobody was supportive. Like, everybody thought, like, I'll be back in 3 months, seriously.
Wow. And you came from a very small town.
Yeah, 5,000 people.
5,000 people.
Yeah.
So everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
Did a lot of people leave and come back? Is that kind of where that mentality came from? Is, you know, I'm going to go out and make something of my life. And then a lot of people came back? Or that almost sounds like, you know, I mean, that's like hatred kind of.
People in Slovakia they're very different people. You have to understand it was a communist regime before. So people think like if you're different, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's the way Steve right
cannot
now.
You cannot go to that country.
Oh, yeah, right. Right now the country is changing, right? Don't get me wrong. It's not like that anymore. But I remember when I was growing up, it was very difficult to just stand out, you know, like especially when you're from small town.
Because you'd be chastised. People look down on that. They wanted you to blend in as opposed to really standing out.
Kind of, yeah.
So the idea of leaving your people, they were just, there's no, it's interesting, right? Because I've heard stories from others, you know, where they're just like, yeah, you know, go do your thing, you know, pursue your dreams, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Here they're like, no, we want you to fucking suffer with us right here. We don't want you to go anywhere or do anything. As a matter of fact, hold on.
Yeah.
Here's a jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. Gain another 50.
Kind of like that. Well, you know, those guys, they don't believe in themselves pretty much. So, so if you, you know, if you follow your dreams, they don't
isn't
really...
that sort of like from being at war for 600 years or however long Eastern Europe has been at war with one another? I mean, these is like, were you in a war torn? Is there like, I'm thinking of like Bosnia Herzegovina.
No, I was never involved.
That's where you are, right? That's the same thing as Slovenia and Slovakia, like Bosnia
Herzegovina. Let's open anything map. That... Steve, can we open map here?
We need a map. Google
map. We do need a map.
I'll show you where I am.
Yeah, right. So, okay. So you didn't come from that mentality of like, I'm worried about getting bombed today.
No,
it was comfortable.
No, it was
a nice town.
It was nice town.
But people just didn't want you to leave.
People just didn't understand, like, how can I have such a big dreams? Like, how can I be such a dreamer? Like,
where do you think that came from? I mean, if everybody else has got kind of this small townish mentality and they're perfectly content being where they are, they want to, you know, they live, they die in the same geographic area. Where do you think it came from for you? I mean, was it MTV?
Oh, definitely.
MTV.
All the way. MTV.
Right, I mean, what else would it be?
There was this series, Beverly Hills.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
The Beverly Hills
90210?
90210, yeah.
Oh,
I watched that show.
That explains
and
a lot.
And that explained everything.
I got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's accurate.
Right, because when you think about the lifestyle of Americans, the first thing that comes to mind is either the Appalachian Mountains of West Virginia or Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
Complete opposite.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you were inspired.
Yeah, I was inspired.
So Shannon Doherty inspired you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could see why. I mean, you know.
She's the role model.
She's the role model. So you're like, I want a pool that's not full of, like, you know, bugs. I want to live in a clean place with sunshine and a pool. Do they have sunshine in Slovenia?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
No,
rainy
sunshine.
And
all the time cloudy.
Yeah.
People, very cloudy mode.
It follows you like
cloud above your head all the time. Here we go.
We're not getting anywhere with this.
No, but here's what I love this because I'm always curious, like, why people sort of break the mold. And it's just really good to know that from where you sat, Beverly Hills 90210 was
inspired
your inspiration.
Yeah,
so you were like, you know what, people, you can do your thing. I see how these guys are living. I'm going for this. So you obviously didn't get a whole lot of support, but you said, forget it. I'm going to do this. I'm heading out here anyway. So you ended up in Chicago after...
Or New York first.
Well,
Chicago first. Okay. 2007, I landed in Chicago.
What did you do? Where'd you live?
Oh, yeah, good question. So first I started North Avenue. What's it called? North Avenue.
Old Town.
Old Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, around there.
I mean, you literally got off the plane and had nowhere to live? Or did you...
No. Like 2 days before my departure, I found these two guys that were like sharing the apartment.
Two guys. Okay.
That's the if I'm a like, single woman coming from overseas to America.
That time I took my brother with me, so I was safe. Like my brother came along. Yeah, he was coming with me. Like,
and so, he's probably like 6'8", 312 pounds.
Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah. That's how.
Don't touch my sister.
Uh huh. Yeah. So we end up living with these two guys for 3 months. Then my brother decided to go back to Slovakia
because it was a 3 month mark, they all said.
3 month mark.
You're out of here in 3 months.
He failed the test. You passed
the test. I passed.
He didn't like it here?
He didn't like it. Back then he had a girlfriend, now they are engaged, so hopefully it's gonna work out.
So he went back for love.
He went back for love.
So Poland up top, Slovakia.
Oh, you're actually looking at a map.
Hungary down below.
Thank you.
And Czech Republic to the side, and the Ukraine and Romania on the other side. So
Sweet.
You're sandwiched in.
Yeah,
we are.
Like really small.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And Slovenia's underneath Austria down further, and it's smaller than Slovakia.
Exactly. Okay, cool. I've got the visual. I appreciate
there
that.
There you go.
So you ended up going to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
You ended up getting your law degree. And since then, you've been doing a whole lot of amazing things, including starting a legal firm. You've got offices in different countries. You've got 3 different offices. So one could say, for all intents and purposes, you are really living the American dream now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is so cool. And of course, I know you're really into the whole this, you know, the love is the law. Let's get into that. Let's talk about the power of love and everything that you're doing outside of the law firm, because I'm really looking forward to getting to the rest of the story. Right back with Reinvention Radio after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, well, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, hanging out with Mary Goulet. How are you, Mary?
Good.
To see you. It's just so nice to have you here. And Marietta, and I will not butcher
Marietta.
Your name. Marietta. And
Marietta.
Oslan, exactly.
Marietta.
But there's other ways to pronounce it that I do not want to butcher. So let's get into... You come here because there are a lot of people who have been here their whole lives, mm-hmm. right? And they potentially have friends or family members who have access to resources. You came here with very little resources, I assume. I mean, is it like one of those I came here with $500 in my pocket kind of thing?
Exactly.
Or did you come for money?
Oh, I came here with like $700.
See?
Yeah.
So she came for money. All right. So it's not
exactly.
So $700
to move into a place in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then did you get a job or?
Yeah, I got a job in a restaurant. I was looking for, actually it took me maybe 2 months to get a job.
Wow.
For some reason, I don't know why, what was wrong. Probably because I didn't want it.
I didn't want to
work in a restaurant with law degree already. So
right.
that was kind of difficult for me to swallow.
Yeah. For sure.
But that was the reality. Like nobody didn't consider me as a lawyer. Even though I was, you know.
But you, I mean, you're brimming with confidence. I mean, like, it emanates from you. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people must have, like, built you up when you were younger. Like, you know, kudos to your parents, because obviously they gave you this inner strength that, you know, a lot of people just don't have. And you saw the big picture. I mean, from the get-go, you mm-hmm. knew you were meant and made for something extraordinary. And whatever you were dealing with was just temporary.
Yeah.
So how quickly did you start your own law firm? Was that your first entrepreneurial endeavor? And for those that don't have the resources to do that sort of thing, or at least they convince themselves that they don't have the resources to do that kind of thing, how did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, like, were you just scraping every dime together and you put money in the bank? How did you start your own business?
So,
how did you start your first business?
Good question. So after Chicago.
That was a first.
I don't think I've heard that before. That's awesome.
Good I've question. Never said it.
This is being recorded, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Nice.
All right. So after I moved to New York, I was studying, preparing for the bar exam. So you got to be licensed in order to practice law, right? Every state it has a different regulations, and I want to be practicing in New York because it was kind of making sense. I was hoping to really get a position, corporate position in New York. Now, yeah.
You got your license in Chicago.
No. I got my degree in Chicago
at
Northwestern University, and then I got my license in New York.
Okay.
The reason why, because I was looking for a position in New York, I was hoping to find, you know, some law firm that could actually really want to hire me for my international background.
And that would have been a perfect fit. So what happened?
Exactly. But what happened for 1 year, I couldn't really find anything. Like, I couldn't find any position. I kept looking. I sent out maybe like 10,000 resumes.
And you're working odd jobs at this point.
No, I wasn't working. I was still preparing for the bar. Like, it's
so
it
we're talking student loans.
We're talking student loans. We're talking living in Massbeth, Queens.
You lived in Queens?
In Queens.
Wow.
Massbeth,
nice.
Like, small room, cockroaches around.
And jars of peanut butter.
No peanut butter back then.
So you couldn't land a gig. You kept looking.
I kept looking. And then after I passed the bar, I just decided, you know what, there's got to be a reason why I cannot get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really forced to look within myself, like, what is it? Like, how come I cannot get a job? Like there's something holding me back. Like, I just couldn't figure it out, right? And then I realized, you know what? I never wanted to get a job. Like, yeah. I always wanted to be on my own, like, start my own business. I just didn't know how, but mm-hmm. I felt it in my heart. Like, that's something that I really want to do. I am entrepreneur in my heart, and mm-hmm. I was always like that, you know?
It's interesting, right? Because you talk about the law of love, right? What's specifically the title of your book? What did you?
Love is the law.
Love is the law, right?
Love
right.
is the law.
So when you talk about, like, the law of attraction,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know,
I was already applying.
Do you believe
in
that?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
It's, my book is all about law of attraction, and back then I was already applying law of attraction principles.
Mm-hmm.
So I was following my heart. Like, I felt like there's got to be something else for me. Like, I knew I want to do international law, but I just couldn't see myself working for corporate America. Like, it made me literally sick. Like,
that's the vibe you're putting off.
I mean,
when you go into those interviews, I mean, clearly
that's the vibe you're putting off, and people are not going to hire you because they were like scared of me. Like, who's this girl? Like, she's got two law schools.
Right.
She's a little bit crazy.
who's Navrat or Navrat or
Navrat? Navrat is my business partner guy that I met in New York. Right after I moved to New York, like a week later, I met this guy.
Is it a love thing? There
was a love thing,
see?
Too. There was a love thing.
I'm good like that.
Intuition.
Intuition, yeah.
But no more love thing?
No more love thing. I'll talk about that story too. So anyway, we met in New York and we decided that we're going to start a law firm together. He was a graduate from NYU Law School.
So you were partners?
We became partners.
And you were partners.
And partners as well.
See?
Double
okay,
partners.
Keep it clean.
Do we have to?
No, not at
all. Okay, sorry. So you guys decided, hey, let's do something together. Obviously, what was he an immigrant also?
Yeah, back then, like, he was living in New York. Now he's back in Slovakia. So he's a Slovak guy as well.
Took him a little more than 3 years.
3 months.
Or 3 months, right? Yeah. Your people are like, man, you're ruthless. Not even 3 years. We give you 3 months and you'll be back.
So he prefers Slovakia?
Well, you know, to be honest, like, we started law firm, we incorporated the law firm, but then we had to move back because we didn't have visa, so we couldn't stay.
You couldn't give each other green cards.
We couldn't give each other green cards. You know how, ridiculous is it? Like, you already graduated top law school, then you passed the bar exam, you became New York attorney, and you cannot live in this country because you don't have freaking visa.
Mm-hmm.
So I was forced to go back and really start building the business online because that was the only way how I can serve my clients.
So you started the business ostensibly online before you opened up the physical offices.
Exactly.
So you have physical offices now.
Right.
Where?
In Bratislava, in Prague, and in New York.
God, I'm going to sound so ignorant here. Where is Bratislava?
Bratislava is the capital of Slovakia, and Prague is the capital of Czech Republic.
It's all the same thing. Okay, so basically you've got two offices in Europe.
Together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay. And you actually have, like, employees, and
have employees, yeah.
Wow.
So we started everything online, and then eventually I invested into my law firm, and that's how I became investor in this country, and I'm here on investor visa. So.
And so your company helps
investors.
What I love about this is the foreign investors, the startups, the entrepreneurs that are looking to expand into the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
same way, just like I did. Just exact same thing what I did with my law firm. I started the firm, created a business, invested into law firm, and I came over. The same way, pretty much the same service I'm offering to my clients.
So if people are in, do you specialize in a particular country in helping them expand to the States? Like, where do most of your foreign clients come from who want to have a presence here in the States?
Sure. Most of them are from Europe because of my network, but it really doesn't matter.
So a lot of people probably are then saying, like, okay, we saw the name of the show. You know, it's all about reinventing self-love and this sort of thing. What the fuck does all of this have to do with anything as far as that side of the equation is concerned? So how do you go from the law to this whole sort of love?
Love is
like,
the
and
love.
By the way, what an amazing bio. What I love about this is I didn't even realize, like, people actually put this, you know, you hear about this, like, on the dating sites and all, and I wouldn't have any idea. But supposedly on the dating sites, you hear about things about, you know, what people love. And Marietta loves self-development and yoga.
Oh, yeah.
And meditation and business and traveling and long walks on the beach.
Did you really put that on there?
Like, it actually
says that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's...
So, is that a joke? Like, you did it just for a joke.
It's
you did it because you mean it.
I'm so serious.
Long walks
Long walks on the beach. Okay, so how did you get into the whole this sort of like... So, how do you help people in that space, right? Because obviously, you're really...
Now, what space? Where we are now?
We're on the sort of the love space right?
Okay.
So how did you transition from the law?
Mm-hmm.
And are you still actively involved with your firm?
I am. I'm still actively involved with my firm, and I would like to stay as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition pretty much happened after my breakup with my business partner.
That would be Navrat.
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 Gotta change that name.
I'm like, who?
You should have known. I mean, even though you're foreign, I mean, Rat's got to be universal, right? I mean, if he's got Rat in the name.
And he's an attorney.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that should have been like a clue right there. Wait a minute. He's an attorney and his last name is Rat.
Yes.
Yeah, this is not going to work out on any level.
Perfect branding, though.
Yeah, right? That's true. If you're going to hire a lawyer, you want to hire a
so you just broke up the personal relationship.
Yeah, we broke up the personal relationship.
Do you still own 51%, though?
We are still partners.
50-50?
50-50, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, how's that working for you?
Well, that's the thing. Like, that was the key. That's the main reason why I wrote the book, because the relationship, the breakup caused me, like, really forced me to go within and find the strength to be able to forgive him and at the same time keep the business running. Because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't just, like, quit, you know? Like, it was everything what I've done so far. And I didn't want to just let it go, mm-hmm. you know? And, as I said, like, I had my investor visa, so I couldn't just, like, break the business and be like, okay.
So when you do deals, like, let's say somebody in Europe wants to come into the States and do business, do you take an equity piece? Do they just pay you, in other words, do you take ownership position in the business?
I don't do any.
Yeah,
equity.
You should do that. Like,
I should
totally.
Do that?
Absolutely.
You should
so not
do
only,
that.
No, for real. Like, not only charge them an hourly fee or however you're structuring your rates right now. I would take a piece of that business because frankly, that's all bonus, man. That's all like stuff they wouldn't get anyway. They're probably killing it where they are, but to come here into a different market, that's just all gravy. So if you help them open up a new market,
yeah.
Man, I would move into taking a piece of that business.
Maybe we could talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
About it different times.
Let's talk about that. Exactly.
Right. Different time.
maybe I give you some percentage too.
I will happily.
We can talk about it.
We'll talk about that.
I'm over here.
Mary wants her cut as well. See how we're dividing up other people's businesses? This is great.
We're a for-profit
radio
program.
This is love, guys.
Yeah.
This is love.
Exactly. And you know what love spelled backwards is, right? I don't know. It's like,
like,
I figured there was.
We're waiting.
Yeah. Evil.
Evil.
Right?
Evil.
All right. So let's talk about more of reinventing self-love right after this on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing. But most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but a woman recently walked into a pet shop. And she sees a beautiful parrot.
I never know what's going on in that little head of yours.
And a tag on the cage says $50. And the woman says, why so little? And the store manager says, you know, the bird used to live in a house of prostitution. So it has kind of a vulgar mouth. The woman decides to buy the parrot anyway. So she puts it, you know, in her house, puts the cage in her house. And the first thing the bird says when the bird gets to the new house is, new house, new madam. How do you like that for a parrot? Pretty
wow.
good, right? So she's a little shocked, but she figured, you know, it's not that bad. So when her two daughters got home from school, the bird sees them and says, new house, new madam, new girls. The woman is surprised, but she figures the parrot will straighten out, you know, once it figures out who everybody is. And a little while later, her husband, Gary, comes home from work. And as he walks in the door, the bird says, hi, Gary.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, exactly.
And that segues beautifully into Love is the Law.
Right, exactly. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is sometimes you get more than you pay for. All right, sorry. Okay, so Love is the Law. Yeah, exactly. So Gary needs your book, basically. At this juncture.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so talk about the book Love is the Law. What is it about? Is it your own personal story? What bring us through it.
Sure.
And read it, actually. We want you to read the whole book right now.
Let's do it right now.
In this last 7-minute segment.
Okay, I can do that. It's about, it's about my story, but it's more about, it's about teaching people how to love themselves, because mm-hmm. I really believe that it starts with loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. So that's a soft topic. So give me a visual on how you do that. And
like, I hate myself, right? So how do I shift that to love? Look at you.
Why you hate yourself?
That was cool.
Why you hate yourself?
She just got
like,
really.
She had like a physiological reaction.
That's killing my heart.
I love that.
Okay, now that's something I've heard before.
Welcome to my world.
You're killing my heart. As a matter of fact, I think that's pretty much every time a woman has broken up with me. I'm pretty sure that's the line she's used. You're killing my heart.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So what does that mean? So how do you move from
hating yourself into loving yourself?
Exactly.
Pretty much you move from hating yourself. You do the alignment. You align with your true self. What does it mean? You're really following your heart. You're following your passion. You allow things to happen to you instead of forcing them.
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much listen to your heart and your intuition and you follow it without any questioning.
Mm-hmm. So now, Mary, this is like right up your alley.
Yeah, we were talking about books during the break, and the one that I self-published is Go With Your Gut, How to Make Decisions You Can Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That's truly listening to the core of who you are, that still small voice.
Mm-hmm. So it's about allowing yourself to be authentic, allowing yourself to be yourself without any judgment, and also accepting that you are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to be perfect.
So at what point did you, or is this sort of an innate way of being for you? And if I'm using words that are unclear, because I know you just got here a couple hours ago, just let me know.
Sure.
But is this like an innate way of being for you? Like, have you always been this way?
No, actually, you know what? To be honest, I've been through many relationships with guys that didn't work out. And I was forced to start looking inside, like asking the question, like, why was this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I stopped blaming them at some point, and I realized that it's actually me who is creating the outside reality. And so
that's pretty insightful. A lot of people don't want to take responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if you fail so many times, like I didn't necessarily fail, but every relationship taught me a lesson. But if it's happening all over again, you know, you start listening your inner self, like why is it, you start questioning, like why mm-hmm. is it happening? And that really helped me to, you know, to get to know myself better and to understand that I wasn't really loving myself. And mm-hmm. because I wasn't loving and accepting myself, the outside reality was pretty much reflecting that relationship with myself.
Right. And, you know, San Diego is not the easiest place to meet a guy.
Really? I've had no trouble meeting guys here at all.
You know what? It's not about meeting guys. It's about living your true authentic nature.
Okay, so
the guy will come to you. Like, you don't have to keep looking for anything.
Yeah,
like,
but
if
it really boils down to just deciding that you are the common denominator of your life, right?
Exactly.
I mean, because ultimately, like you said, all those relationships, these are all different guys. And if there's issues across the board, then at some point you got to look back and say, it can't be all of them.
Exactly.
It's
the same pattern. So you got to really admit the truth.
Yeah, but a lot of people go straight downhill. downhill when they come to that realization, like, Jesus, I'm just fucked up, right? And so they go to, like, this really bad place.
I understand that. And
as opposed to...
Yeah, and it's good to realize that I'm fucked up. Mm-hmm. In order to heal yourself and heal the problem and solve the, whatever issue you have that is causing that fucked up relationship,
yeah,
it's good really to admit the truth, and then you can start healing that. And it's like, you know, you want to overcome the fear. The only way how you can overcome the fear is to face the fear,
mm-hmm,
and then the fear will disappear.
And do you believe that it's not at all about fixing yourself? It's just simply about accepting who you are?
It's about accepting who you are, and that's really self-love. It's about accepting who you are, and once you accept who you are, you can actually change it. Because if you fight with your own self, you're never going to change it. You're never going to transform.
Mm-hmm.
So first it comes acceptance, and then you can start, you know, making the change by being aware of what's going on. And then there are techniques and tools that you can implement, obviously.
That's in your book?
That's in my book, How You Change Your Subconscious Mind, because 95% of your reality is reflection of your subconscious mind. Whatever your subconscious mind is projecting, you see in your reality. So if you don't like something, you got to go deeper and change it in your subconscious mind. That's why law of attraction is not working for so many people, because they are using conscious mind.
Well, because it's bullshit, too, though. I mean, you can't just sit there and wait for stuff to happen.
Exactly.
You can pray and dream all day long.
Yeah,
but you
got to act.
That's why
you
gotta
do the work.
Exactly. That's why I believe in the law of proaction, which is the law.
I love that.
Thank you very much. You can borrow
that's
that.
Number two,
yeah,
the brilliance.
Thank you.
I know, right? I should quit right now. Okay, that's the end of reinvention.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
You're done for the month. So what happened in your life since you've implemented some of these things?
Well, I'm still implementing some of these things. And
because you just turned 13 yesterday, right?
Yeah, I just turned 13 yesterday.
you're like Doogie Howser. Do you even know who Doogie Howser is? You probably have no idea. She's like, who the fuck is Doogie Howser?
Were
Houser?
They on 90210?
we didn't get those reruns. Yeah, the cable company was very selective about what show. No, but seriously, so love is the law.
What has changed since I'm implementing this? Everything is changing. Like my business is growing. I'm really living my true authentic life, and I'm following my dreams, and I'm building the life of my dreams pretty much. So I'm not afraid to dream big, go for it, and make it happen.
Yeah. And so when you came up with this title,
mm-hmm,
what were you thinking in terms of, were you playing off of some of the other laws like the law of attraction,
mm-hmm,
and so on? And you were, and in your mind, you believe that love is the ultimate law.
I do, because everyone is love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes down to love. Love is the highest frequency that is governing everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's governing the universe. Whatever we do, if we're doing from the place of love, we create amazing things.
Yeah.
So it's all about love. Love in business, love in health. Like, if you love your body, you're going to be healthy. If you, mm-hmm, if you fight with your body, you're not going to look good.
Yeah. And so let's give people an opportunity here to learn more about you and about the firm, especially if you're overseas, you want to come into the States, because I know this is going to go, you know, worldwide here. So how do people find out about your law firm, and how do people find out about your book?
Sure. So they can visit my website, marietaoslanek.com.
What? Also,
that would be marietaoslanek.com.
Yep. And then loveisthelawbook.com is another website. And then my law firm is under navratoslanek.com.
Yeah, that's Navrat. So
Navrat.
N-A-V-R-A-T-N-O-S-L-A-N-E-C.
His first name is Matus.
Exactly.
Mattress.
Mattress rat. So, yeah. Yeah. So
Seriously. I hope he's not listening. He's going to kill me.
You know what he's going to do? He's going to sue me.
Yeah, he's going to sue me. And tomorrow he'll be like, oh, I'm done with you.
Yeah, right.
All from over.
And you'll thank me later. All right. This has been a lot of fun once again.
Great to have you.
A joy to hang here on Reinvention Radio. So thank you very much, Marietta. Thank you very much, Mary Goulet.
Thanks.
And we will talk to you guys in the next episode of Reinvention Radio. Talk soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.